Almost a year ago, on New Year's Eve, I created a vision board for myself with a friend. I had no idea what was about to come. And I don't know about you, but 2020 has not been the year I had envisioned for myself. Instead, I spent my days inside my house, staring at this laptop screen and doom scrolling, trying to stay on top of the world's changing news and how my community is coping. This has been a year of loss and grief for many of us. Our relationships have been cut off. We're reckoning with injustice everywhere, and our rhythm of life has been disrupted. There have been big losses. Many have lost their lives. Many have lost their livelihoods. There have been countless small losses, celebrations, hugs, travel. We have all had to go through a year like none other. As a spiritual tradition, we talk about grief. We have sacred rituals around loss and death. Entire services are dedicated to this topic. We share publicly and personally about our individual sorrows, and we come together when there are shared traumatic events. And yet this pandemic has gone on longer than most of us have thought possible, and we haven't been able to come together to share in the many types of losses unique to this particular shared experience. And yet we have had Zoom and Google Meet and FaceTime, even YouTube and Facebook Live. So many platforms trying to help us get those connections that we need. Some of us are saying no to all of the technology and waiting until it is over. Others are digging in deeply, showing up for everything, no matter what the topic, to get any connection possible. And most of us are in the middle, finding meaning in a few things, but not trying to replicate everything that came before we had to lock down. I am one of those in the middle folks. I don't enjoy some of my quote unquote normal activities through a screen. So I am waiting for those to return in the after. The after. Sometime in this next year, I am very hopeful we will start living our lives out in the world again. One of the things that will help get me through this winter is thinking about and planning for what that will look like. But for right now, I want to lift up some of the highlights, the good and the bad, of my 2020, and I invite you to consider some of your own. Usually when we say highlight, we mean the good stuff that we brag about at the end of the year letter that goes out to family and friends. But what if instead, we expand highlight to mean anything important or meaningful, the stuff worth lifting up, and whatever we want to let go of. So some of the things that I would like to lift up from my 2020 include the following. Getting to eat lunch with my son, Nate, almost every day, and being able to just see him and chat with him often throughout his school day. We have watched a lot of Star Trek, Next Generation, and almost all of the Marvel movies together during this time. And I know that the amount of time that we have been able to spend together will likely never happen again. I have newfound appreciation for those who work on the front lines. I didn't even know what that term would come to mean last January. And I am so grateful for their work, and I try to show my appreciation every time someone brings me my groceries or takeout to my car. I have been able to stay home. I am grateful that I can keep myself and those in my very tiny bubble safe by not having to take risks. I truly love my home. I love those that I spend these days with, mostly Nate and our cat, and our good internet, which allows us to both work and watch a lot of Netflix. I have kept my job. I have been able to work from home since the beginning, and there will not be any pressure to go back to the building until I feel safe. I am incredibly fortunate. I also have many things that I would like to let go of from this year. In February, right before we understood what was happening, I traveled to the southern border for the second time to witness and protest what is happening to those seeking asylum in the United States. Once the pandemic hit, there was little energy to devote to this important and sacred work. And I want to let go of the guilt of not spending time on this cause. I want to let go of the worry I have felt almost every day of getting sick, of worrying about my friends who are high risk, of worrying that those in this community who have gotten sick will not recover fully, worrying that those who are in healthcare are more burdened by people's choices than they should have to be. I let go of the anxiety that I wake up with, not knowing what might have happened overnight that was newsworthy. I let go of the grief I feel of not being able to do the job that I love. My favorite parts of my job are Sunday morning, UU101 classes, and sharing meals. Hugs. Seeing a newcomer walk into the building for the first time and say to them, "I don't believe we've met." Introducing those same newcomers to our amazing welcomers. Seeing the kids leave the religious education classrooms and making a beeline for the cookies in the fellowship hall. Chatting with the coffee makers in the kitchen and getting a fill-up of hot water for my tea. I could keep going because this has been a big year in a lot of ways. I have seen so much love and compassion during this year. The amount of people supporting each other has been awe-inspiring. People have given their time to help others vote. They have given their money. I have seen this here at the fellowship because we have had people asking for help and many offers of help. Meals, deliveries, help with dog walking, companionship, and much more. This has been a year that many of us have said yes to something we would not have in other circumstances. The humanity has been beautiful. The inhumanity has also been very present with us this year. I don't need to explain what I mean because you already know. There are unfortunately countless examples, big and small. And yet I am grateful to be part of a faith and part of a faith community that sides with love and yells no more. We believe in science and our seventh principle that says that we respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. This means we do our part of keeping each other safe and healthy because we know we are all connected. We may not do this perfectly, and we may make mistakes, but that is our goal. So now we are greeting a new year. Paganism, my own faith, path, encourages us to ritualize this. We will always be impacted by what has happened, but possibilities exist too. I read this recently. Every ending is followed by a beginning. Nothing in life, no matter how painful or challenging, is wasted when you exercise the magic of discernment. Ask yourself, what purpose did this event in my life serve? Why did I make the choices I made? What can I learn from what I have gone through? Find the answers and everything changes. In my own life, my ritual is digging into these questions and determining what I want to manifest or bring in to my life and what no longer serves me. If this would be meaningful for you, I invite you to consider the highlights of your 2020 Again, we're not talking about just the positives here. But what has defined your life this past year? Write them down. Release them in some way. Then consider what you hope for in 2021. Now, of course, January 1st is only one of many possible New Years that we can celebrate, but it is one that many find meaning. At the beginning of this sermon, I talked about how we as a faith community talk about grief and loss and challenge. One of my favorite services on this topic was one that Reverend Leah led back in 2015 called Tear Soup. It helped me frame some of the grief that I have had in my life, particularly around my grandpa's death. He died when I couldn't be with him in ways that I wanted to be. And the grief has always been tinged with guilt. I want to share the story with you, as it might be a helpful way for you to consider the grief and loss that has happened this year, personally and collectively. The service was adapted from a storybook by the same name. It is a story about an old and somewhat wise person called Grandy, who had to figure out how to make peace with the sad parts of life. She faced her loss by making tear soup, a custom many had forgotten. The story tells us, as people's lives became more rushed, they found it much easier to pull soup in a can from the shelf and heat it on the stove. But several years ago, Grandy got a taste of well-seasoned tear soup. One of her friends had made it from scratch after her child died. As soon as Grandy tasted the rich flavor of that carefully made soup, she promised herself never again to assume that quicker was better. One of my favorite parts of this story says, she put on her apron because she knew it would get messy. It seems that grief is never clean. People feel misunderstood, feelings get hurt, and wrong assumptions are made all over the place. To make matters worse, grief always takes longer to cook than anyone wants it to. The end of the story tells us that we don't think you actually ever finish grieving the big things. Grandy says, I've learned that grief, like a pot of soup, changes the longer it simmers and the more things you put into it. And most importantly, I've learned that there is something down deep within all of us ready to help us survive the things we think we can't survive. So maybe your ritual will include making tear soup. My tear soup acknowledges that I grieve people that I haven't been able to be with this year. But it also includes the visions I had for my year back on New Year's Eve. If one of the areas you think about putting energy into is this fellowship and our community, I hope you will reach out to me for support. One possibility that I hope everyone considers is a 6-part class Allie Peters, our intern minister, is leading called Coming of Age for Adults. Our high school youth participate in coming of age, and many of us adults wish we had had that opportunity. Because, after all, we come of age again and again in our lifetimes. It starts in January and is listed in the weekly scroll newsletter and on our website. Our service today is a sort of review of the year. Coming of age is the best kind of life review. It gives us a chance to take stock of what we might want to lift up and what we might want to let go of. Most of us have some idea or experience we don't want to guide our spiritual lives, and examining this closely and in community is a great way to let go of it if it no longer serves it. It could be just what you need in 2021. There are, of course, many ways of connecting here and developing friendships. Please let me know how I can help you. So friends, 2020 has been hard, really, really hard. I hope that you spend some time considering what impacts this has had on you and give some space to what will come in the new year.